Let's get into a little hoops discussion. If you're an NBA fan out there, you have an early season question about your team, the league in general. You could send that into the text line, 319-366-1600. Be happy to ask it of our guest, Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports. Been on with us before, been on the afternoon slot with a different host, but appreciate him still answering the phone when we call to talk a little hoops here on afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Colin, appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. This is, I mean, you know, technically the NBA started last night, but I consider this day, the Wednesday, is the real kickoff of the NBA season. So I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, I am too. I've been an NBA fan all my life. My team had a nice time there in the doldrums. I'm a Bucks fan, so I'm excited about the season, hopeful for this season to be different than last season. Maybe we'll get into a little Milwaukee talk here in just a bit. But let's get your impressions of what we saw last night. Celtics blitzing the doors off the Knicks last night on ring night in Boston. And then the Lakers. We saw Bronny and LeBron on the court. Got that storyline out of the way. Lakers winning the game. Good night for Anthony Davis. What did you make of the true opening night last night?
Yeah, I think, well, the first game, I mean, the Boston Celtics, goodness gracious. What are we going to do with these guys? Like, I mean, we saw them in the playoffs just kind of steamroll everybody. There were some questions about competition. Maybe they didn't face the best, you know, the best teams in the bracket. But when you watch them play, they are just such a well-oiled machine. I mean, Jason Tatum is, you know, I pick him to be MVP every year because, you know, hey, best player on best team. That hasn't really how it's gone the last year or two. But he was phenomenal. Jaylen Brown is another all-NBA, even, you know, finals MVP we're talking about. And then the way they fling the ball around, the way they pass, and shooting is contagious. You've seen this with teams like the Warriors, the Houston Rockets at times, where once they make two or three, it's like they're going to get an open shot and it's going to go in. They're shooting, what, 58 threes or something like that in a game. It's going to be an all-out assault this season. And if anybody was thinking, you know, oh, maybe they'll have, you know, a little hangover or it's going to take them a while to get serious, they kind of blew that out of the water in game one against the Knicks. And for the Knicks, you know, everyone was so excited about this team. It's clear. This happens every year. You know, teams get new players. We think of them as a super team. They think we're going to win the championship. And then we realize, oh, these guys haven't actually played together before, so it's going to take a while. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be worried. I'm not hitting the panic button about the Knicks. I just think that it's going to take time for them to kind of mesh. And then you mentioned the nightcap. It's all about LeBron and Bronny, right? Like, you can say whatever you want about Bronny not necessarily being an NBA prospect, not being ready to play. You know, he got out there on the court with his father. It was a tremendous moment. It was a tremendous night for the game of basketball. It's an absolute testament to LeBron's longevity of where he is in his career. He's not hobbling out there on one leg, putting up one shot. You know, this guy's still putting up triple doubles. He's still an all-NBA player. It's just simply phenomenal. So I don't know how much more of Bronny we're going to be seeing in the Lakers lineup. It was pretty clear in the preseason that he's not ready, going to need to spend a lot of time in the G League. But I think the way it worked out in that game against Minnesota, that they were up big in the second quarter, I believe it was, maybe the first quarter, they bring him in with like 4 minutes left, just to get the applause, to get the moment out of the way. It wasn't consequential to the game. I think they handled that well, and now the Lakers can kind of move forward with that, you know, kind of in the back burner.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I think that was a smart move, now that I think more about it, by J.J. Redick, to, you know, get that out of the way, stop the distraction, right? I mean, there's so many distractions and storylines already with the Lakers, year in and year out, game in and game out. You know, why continue the "is Bronny going to play tonight" conversation for another day, 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, whatever it might be? I think that was a smart move in the end to just do it in the first game, right?
Absolutely. It can't be hanging over your head, particularly with the way that Bronny played. You don't want to have to, you know, put him in a tight game, or, you know, you wait until a blowout and then you've got LeBron in when you're up by 30, and that's a whole different thing. So I think it just worked out perfectly for J.J. Redick.
Let's go back to the East. You know, you mentioned the Knicks, and it's an important point to bring up, right? Like, people see them, oh, they're going to challenge the Celtics. Well, it's not as easy as you know, one game. They're going to be, you know, just meshing and gelling together right away. I'm curious, just out of the East, and I know one game doesn't make a season, but the Celtics in game one look head and shoulders better than even some of their closest competition. What do you make of the Eastern Conference, and who are the true contenders out East, aside from Boston, in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot to beat Boston. They're just so deep. I do think the Knicks will get there. I think when they're fully healthy, I think when they've had, you know, 15, 20 games under their belt, they're trying to figure out what they've got going. Mitchell Robinson being out is a big thing. So, you know, if he comes back, it's going to be a big deal for them because they need that rebound, the offensive rebounding, the shot blocking, the rim protection, all the things you kind of don't get from Karl Anthony Towns. But besides the Knicks, who are going to be there for sure, I think the Cavs are always a team that you have to watch out for. They kind of didn't really mesh last year. They played better when two of their guys were out. But I think the talent they have, the new coach, Kenny Atkinson, I think is really going to do wonders for that offense. So they should be a much better offensive team than they are. Obviously, the 76ers, whatever's going on with Joel Embiid, they're being looked into by the NBA for player participation policy, all this stuff. But it sounds like they're trying to take a cautious approach with him. You know, I can't imagine he's going to be playing back-to-backs, you know, things like that. And they've got a lot, you know, obviously a lot of firepower with him and Tyrese Maxey and now Paul George in the fold. I think that's just I think on paper, if they are fully healthy, I would put them right on par with the Knicks in my mind. But whether they're going to be fully healthy is another question. And then obviously you mentioned the Bucks. I think that's the other team that's going to be a real contender out east. I think what happened, you know, with them last year was an anomaly. Whatever was going on with their coach, Adrian Griffin, they got him out of the way. They traded for Damian Lillard very late last summer or almost into the fall, right before the season. So him and Giannis didn't get a lot of reps together, and it felt like they were just disjointed all year. I think Lillard's going to have a better year. I think those two synergy is going to be much better. So those are kind of the teams I see at the top of the East right now who can possibly challenge the Celtics.
Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports joining me here on 1600 ESPN, talking a little early season NBA. Had the two opening night games, but a full-ish slate of games tonight, which we'll preview later on in the show. Actually, I had a text in from one of our listeners, Colin, 1120 on the text line, asking about the Atlanta Hawks. How do you feel about them in particular, and how do you feel about Zachary Risache and his adjustment to the NBA game?
Yeah, that's interesting. Risache is a intriguing prospect. So I spoke actually a lot with some French talent evaluators before the draft, and they loved Risache. They thought, you know, he's exactly what you're looking for, which is why he went number one overall, which is a 6'8 wing. He can shoot it. He could probably eventually defend. He's athletic. Everything you're looking for. That being said, he's not Victor Wembanyama. He's not Zion Williamson. He's not one of these guys who's going to come in and just completely transform your franchise. So the Hawks have a very interesting kind of situation going on where they have this young core where I guess you can kind of count Trae Young. He's 26. That's, you know, he hasn't technically hit his prime yet. So if you count him, you've got him, Risache, Jalen Johnson, who I absolutely love, DeAndre Hunter. They traded for Dyson Daniels. These are all guys that can, you know, Onyeka Okongwu is another guy. All guys who can kind of progress and grow together into this core. But then they also have these veterans like Bogdan Bogdanovic, Clint Capella. So you've got kind of one foot in, one foot out. They haven't decided to go for a full rebuild. They're probably going to go for, you know, what they call a rapid rebuild, considering that they traded away most of their draft capital. I don't think the Hawks are going to be a contender. I probably see them in that play-in mix once again, which I'm sure Hawks fans don't want to hear because it seems like they're there every single year. But I think trading away DeJounte Murray was a clear indication that, hey, something needs to change here. We're possibly going to be going younger. I would expect Bogdan Bogdanovic and Clint Capella to be on the trade block all year long and potentially not necessarily finish the year with the Hawks. But I do think that they have a bright future with those young players. And I really like Jalen Johnson. I'm glad they locked him up.
Let's go from the East to the West. You look at the West and you can point at any really number of teams and say, hey, I think they could maybe be in the mix. I know the Thunder are the popular pick. Dallas was in the NBA Finals last year. We got a lot of Wolves fans here in Iowa, too, that want to see their team make a little bit deeper run in the postseason. How do you make heads or tails of the West race so far this year or going into this year?
Yeah, so at CBS, they ask us to rank all the teams, both conferences, 1 through 15. The East, you know, I kind of, as I told you, I kind of have an idea of who's going to be good, who's going to be in the middle. The West is just, it's a crapshoot. I mean, you can talk about, say, a team like the Warriors. Last year they missed the playoffs. They won, 48 games or something like that? Like, that's a pretty good team that just, because the West is so good and so deep, It's going to be very difficult for those teams to rise up the charts. So you talked about the Thunder. They're going to be right there. The Timberwolves, there's question marks. You saw Julius Randle in the opener. Didn't look great, kind of clunky. How's he going to fit with Rudy Gobert standing in the middle of the paint? Anthony Edwards has taken a lot more threes, a little less dynamic. We'll see how that works out. I think Denver is another team. You know, they did lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which is a big deal. That was the best starting unit, starting five, or best five-man unit, period, of any five-man unit in the NBA. So to lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, replace him with Christian Brown, that's going to be an interesting situation to see. But as long as Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are healthy, I think Denver's going to be right there. And another team, you know, that obviously Phoenix with, you know, the star power that they have is always going to be a contender. We need to see it on the court for a prolonged period of time. We need to see those guys on the court with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. But I did think that they did a good job getting some pieces around them. Tyus Jones is like a true point guard that's going to help them out. But for me, they're a big question mark just because we haven't seen it. But again, I was going to say the team that we should look out for here is the Memphis Grizzlies, because that's a team that most people forgot about last season because of all the situation with John Morant, all the injuries that they endured. But I mean, if you look at that team now, if they are fully healthy, you got John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. both took huge strides last year in Morant's absence. Then you got Marcus Smart. You have a very deep bench. You have all these development projects. So I think Memphis is going to be a team to look out for if you're going to look for someone who's going to kind of jump into that mix that wasn't there. And then, of course, I have to mention Dallas. I think they're going to be an absolute steamroller this year. They unlocked something last year in the playoffs with their double center combination, the way Kyrie and Luka play together. And now the entire playoffs, you're watching the Mavericks and you're saying, what if they just had someone in the corner waiting for the ball who could actually make a three-point shot? And they go out and get Klay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters of all time. So, you know, obviously Klay's lost a step, but the guy can still knock down wide open threes. He's going to get a ton of them with those guys. So I think Dallas is going to be very, very good this season.
Big picture, Colin, we haven't had a repeat champion since, what, the Warriors in 17-18. Do we get a repeat with Boston, or are there, is this another kind of, you know, mark on the chart of champions with a different title winner this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think when we did our predictions, I think just because of that statistic, I think I went back to Denver. I just see if Jokic is healthy, I just think they're going to be able to bounce back from what they did last postseason. But man, if any team is going to repeat, you talk about that Warriors team, right? One of the greatest teams ever assembled with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. I mean, the deep bench, Andre Iguodala, all that stuff. We might be looking back at this Boston team and saying the same thing. Obviously, they don't have maybe the high-end talent where Jason Tatum isn't Steph Curry, Jaylen Brown isn't Kevin Durant, but they have the depth, and I think that's what's going to sustain them, because if any of those one guys are injured, they have someone else ready to step up. Even guys like Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, Xavier Tillman, like these guys get in the game and they perform. So whatever Joe Mazzulla is doing out there to get his team ready to prepare them, you know, every coach says, hey, next man up. Every time someone says, next man up, it doesn't always work that way, but it seems like in Boston it does. So they have what it takes. Obviously, if everyone's healthy, they're the favorite, hands down, no question. Even if they sustain an injury, like Kristaps Porzingis is out right now. He tends to be a little injury prone. They have Al Horford to step in. So I think that Boston have exactly what they need to get back to the championship and win it. It's just a matter of whether these other teams that we've seen can kind of coalesce and put it together for an entire playoff run. So it'll be fun to watch.
One last one for you, Colin. This came up on the show yesterday. Interesting kind of piece, and it has nothing really to do with this season, but you talk about expansion in the NBA. Expansion always comes up. We're hearing about it in baseball, football, kind of always out there. WNBA, too, is growing in popularity and adding new teams here over the next several years. How close are we, in your opinion, to expanding the NBA in general?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of when, not if. I think it's probably going to be, you know, in the next few seasons, 27, 28, maybe, when a team could start, maybe even 26, 27. I obviously, Seattle and Las Vegas are the two markets that are kind of thrown out around there. I think it's pretty clear that you know, a lot of time you say, okay, expansion, it's kind of a money grab. You think back, you know, if you're as old as I am, to when the Raptors and the Grizzlies kind of came in and they're playing guys who aren't necessarily at the NBA level in terms of talent. I think with how deep the talent is in the NBA right now, how skilled these guys are, how quickly the young players are developing, I think we're going to have plenty of time or plenty of talent for expansion teams to be, you know, relatively competitive. It's not going to be a joke out there. So I think that everything the league needs for expansion to happen is here. I think they're just trying to take their time and trying to make sure they do it the right way. But again, it's definitely a matter of when, not if, the NBA is going to expand.
Very good, Colin. Thanks for the time. We'll try to catch up with you again later on this season, okay?
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports does a great job covering the NBA for, well, CBS Sports. Follow him on X at Colin CBS Sports and read his work at CBSSports.com. Appreciate the questions on the text line for Colin. And like I mentioned yesterday, try to work in some regular NBA and some NHL discussion. Justin sending in his hockey picks, work in some hockey talk as well. Both on the local and national level. So try to expand our horizons here. And you all just talk about football all the time. Yeah, football's king, right? Still got to talk some hoops and talk some hockey and